It's good to see you all here this morning. I see many of you got the note to put your name on so we could get to know each other a little bit. This Sunday is the first Sunday of the month. We'll be sharing the Lord's Supper in a little while. If you haven't received the elements on your way in, please make sure you do that. And we'll share that in a while. The message this morning is kind of broken up through our time together, and we'll talk about a few different aspects of the Lord's Supper, but it's also Celebration Sunday in that we look for opportunity to share testimony, praises, prayer concerns, that we could be together as a family. Of course, COVID in our social distance sitting makes us feel like we're spread all over the place, but our hearts are together in wanting to serve God and also to be the family that loves and cares for one another. I do have several prayer concerns that have come through the week and some new just this morning, but I also want to mix those in with any prayer concerns you might have. If you have a brief testimony or want to share that, I have handheld microphones. I've got Clorox wipes to keep them clean and hand them off to you so that you might be able to share. But we want to be able to actually spend time together. In particular, there are some health issues that I want to talk about. Jerry and Sharon Laganor. Jerry, last Sunday, you might recall, during service, we said he's going to go to hospice in the afternoon for evaluation. Well, it turned out he had an infection, and we're still waiting for the final resolution of that by, I believe it might have been Wednesday morning. He was sitting up, ordered his own breakfast, ate all of it, and was feeling much better. His infection had caused him to have some delirium, and there was some recovery from that. He was going to stay there for a few more days for evaluation. Continue to pray for Sharon. It is possible that these are Jerry's last days or weeks. We don't know, but Sharon has expressed, this is God's mercy. Jerry spent time at the hospital, then he came home. Then he spent time in rehab, and then he came home. And now he spent time at the hospice, but then he came home. And she's, in effect, being prepared for that time when she'll be alone. And so I encourage you, those of you, some of you specifically, who are widows and know what this might be like, to look for opportunity to come alongside Sharon. Pray for her. Certainly all of us can do that. Pray for Jerry. When he kind of came out of his delirium, he said, you know, what did I do wrong? Why am I here? He just didn't know it was the delirium was so significant. So be praying for him as well. We would ask for miracles that Jerry would have years, but we just don't know. And so we want to be aware of that. Please pray for Jerry Bowden. Is Jerry here? No. As of, let's see, Tuesday afternoon, she went to the hospital thinking she had a heart attack. I think she came home on Thursday, thought she might be here today, but she's not quite ready for that yet. She is here. She's in the building. Jerry is in the building. Great. She's probably setting up for DNA, in fact. So I want to take those two and then also get a testimony here from Mike about how Evelyn's doing, and we'll take time to pray for those.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, everybody out in internet land. There's kind of a big story and a shorter story. Maybe the bigger story would be great for sometime more in the future. But let me just say this. The testimony, my wife had a major surgery a week ago, but this isn't a testimony about the surgery. It's a testimony about God.
Amen.
And the testimony is that he is faithful when he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's true. I'm here to testified that that's true. He's been, through our whole journey, the support of the Holy Spirit has been incredible. The shorter version is that 2 months ago, when it became apparent that surgery could be done on Evelyn, she had, for those who don't know, she has liver cancer, and we got to a point where we could meet with a surgeon and discuss surgery options, which were not there before. The surgeon described different scenarios that could possibly happen, but they didn't know what would occur until they actually did the surgery. So even the imagery, they couldn't really tell what exactly was possible to do. So he said, we'll just have to do it. So on May the 28th, she went into surgery at Roswell Park, and it became apparent, glory to God, that the surgeons were able to do a lot of what they really wanted to do, which was great. The surgery took 12 hours. The surgeon said on a scale of difficulty, he would call it a 9 out of 10 for how difficult the surgery was, which I guess explains why it was 12 hours. I was getting a little worried at the end because we were looking like if they could do everything they wanted to do, it might take 7 or 8 hours. So after like 10 hours, I was like, so is this really good or is this not? So anyway, we are still awaiting pathology reports to really say the end of that story. But what I can say is that she is on the mend. It's going to be slowly but surely because of the work that was done. But I know that she would, if she was standing right here, she would really want to express gratitude to all the prayers, all the support, people that have brought food, just everything that people have done. We are so grateful for the support of the body. And as a prayer request, just pray that we get a good pathology report in a week or so, and also pray that she would just heal up. It's going to be a slow process, but progress is being made. So praise God. We're grateful.
Amen. Thanks, Mike. Opportunity for someone else to share. Perhaps, as I would say, Evelyn's story is a praise. Does someone else have something they want to share to encourage the body that God is at work, God is real, God is here, God is present, God is serving his purposes by bringing us peace, comfort, and joy? Should be good.
I just want to thank you for all the prayers for my leg. It's getting better, and Jesus is in my heart.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, everybody, for praying. I appreciate that. It actually was a heart attack. It's just not from normal reasons. It has its own weird medical stuff happening. But what I want to praise God for is, you know, we don't just live in the physical realm. It's a spiritual walk every single day. And that's what God keeps holding me to, you know? So, yeah, the physical stuff is making me really crazy and wonder, you know, yay, my foot's all better. I did things for 3 weeks, and then I have this heart attack, and who knows what it's related to. And, you know, it's like, really, Lord? In the physical realm, I want to say, you got it wrong again, God. And then he just draws me to his heart and just is teaching me and reminding me constantly about his sovereignty and how good he is and how much he loves us. And he's never, like Rich said, he never leaves us. And so now just, you know, pray with me this way. God, what do I need to hear? Is there something I'm not listening to? We talked about listening and hearing his voice. Because I do want to obey. I want to respond to whatever God has in my life, even physical garbage. You know, Mike and Evelyn know. How do we respond, Lord? But what is your plan for touching people's lives? How do I touch people's lives with your love when I'm sitting home on my couch? God, speak to me. So I just want to praise God that, you know, he doesn't just do the physical. He's constantly drawing our hearts to himself to change us and grow us and mature us. And I need it so much. And so I'm so glad he doesn't let go. He's good.
Amen. Thank you. We should all be looking for those kind of testimonies in our own life. Not that we want everyone here to deal with a heart attack or cancer, but that we would find that God is present, that God is sovereign. God is involved in my life. He knows what he's doing. When there are things that I don't understand, I don't have to worry about that because he does. And so may we all have that testimony. As a church family, if you come to Amherst, you understand and you come to the point where you experience God's presence in your life. If you're missing that, then ask questions. Get to know God more. Get to know this body more. We have many folks who have those testimonies and would love to share with you how to understand who God is and walk in that confidence and that joy.
I'm going to say something that may sound a little controversial, and I apologize ahead of time if I get mixed up, because sometimes mid-sentence I get confused. Before I had my stroke last fall, I would never have thought for a moment that I could love the Lord more. I never thought for a moment that I could study him in such a way that I would be greatly surprised But since the stroke, and this is the controversial part, I've had to learn about him all over again. There was a short time where I had totally forgotten about my Lord, a few days. But when it dawned on me that I had forgotten about my Lord, it crushed me, only to cause me to love him more, because I realized he had never forgotten about me. Amen. And I praise him for all of your prayers that knew about it, and I ask that you continue. My health is, as Zig Ziglar would say, great and getting better. But emotionally and memory-wise and eyesight is almost better, but I've got a little ways to go. The Lord had provided me with the most fantastic husband I could have, because he had to become the chief cook and bottle washer and bather and the whole thing, and the Lord provided. And I know from many of you that you were praying, and that is so powerful. If you ever doubt that for a minute, don't ever doubt the power of prayer. He got me through some times where I felt so guilty because I had forgotten about him, and he said, but the power is mine and not yours. And I knew he loved me through it, and he's continuing. And I praise him, and I love him, and I expect him to do wonderful things in my future. Thank you all for your prayers.
Amen. Thanks, Sue. The Lord's Supper, as we know, or perhaps you know, if you're a student of these things, you know that the Lord's Supper occurred during the time of Passover. And so I just want to take a moment to glance back at Passover. Exodus chapter 12, not going to read that passage necessarily, but it was when the Jews, the Hebrews, were still in Egypt, and a series of plagues had taken place, and God said the next one is going to be really bad. Some of these plagues now, they happened to the Egyptians, but didn't happen to the Hebrews. It was just like there's a line drawn. It was dark here and light there. It's really some strange things. But this last one was that the firstborn of every household would die. And God didn't just draw a line and say, I'm only going to do it to the Egyptians. He said, I'm only going to do it to the Egyptians and even to the Hebrews who do not express their faith in me by killing a lamb and putting the blood on the doorpost. And the angel of death was to see that blood on the doorpost and pass over that household. And so that celebration, they were to do this every year on the 10th of the first month. They were to select a lamb, and they were supposed to keep it in their house for 4 days. And on the 14th, they were to slaughter that animal at twilight and share the Passover meal. And so that's what we're in the midst of in this story in the New Testament. In all four Gospels, there's this event of the night before Jesus' crucifixion. And we're going to talk about it in Matthew in just a little while, not right now. But the idea is, looking back to this Passover, a sacrifice was made so that those who had placed their faith in what God said would happen would be saved. It's what we celebrate all the time when we celebrate our salvation. Christ's sacrifice, his blood covers us so that we are not held guilty of our sin. Do we have guilt? If we did something wrong, we have guilt, but he forgives, he pays the penalty, and we are able to be reconciled and made holy, made righteous. And so that is what Jesus and his disciples are celebrating, that God had a plan to deliver. And we see it carried out in the New Testament in a new way, in a new covenant, and that's what we celebrate with the Lord's Supper. I do have a couple other prayer concerns. Jan Gallo fell again. Cracked a few ribs, tripped on a dog leash, and so she's recovering. We pray that she's recovering quickly. Joanne Malloy requests continued prayer. She has an infection and actually went to the hospital yesterday. Just can't get ahead of that infection. To my knowledge, she's at Millard Fillmore. She didn't respond this morning to tell me exactly where she is, or last night. So we can continue to pray for them, for both Jan and Joanne. And Then one other thing on an upbeat side, Steve Napoli isn't here with us this morning. He's on a mission trip with, actually a senior trip with the Christian Central Academy's senior class. So he's in Costa Rica today. Along with Jerry's daughter, Rachel, she's one of the, chaperones as well for that class trip. So we can pray for that. It's a ministry trip. I mean, it's a senior trip. They're not just going for vacation, though. It's a Christian school, and they're going with the intention of ministry. And so we can pray for them as well. Matthew chapter 26 is one of these stories, one of these records of what happened on the night before Jesus was crucified. Each of the Gospels, Jackson, if you could put the first slide up from that, not from the scripture, but from the PowerPoint, if you got that anyway. There's this process of the establishment of the Lord's Supper, and it shows up, as I mentioned, in all four Gospels, sort of, Matthew 26, Mark 14, and so forth. And the next slide shows us there are these eight events within these gospel records. And as we look at the next slide, we'll see that not all things are covered in all gospels. As I mentioned, the Gospel of John doesn't even talk about the bread and the cup. That's kind of interesting to me. But nobody else talks about foot washing. Nobody else talks about the new commandment that I give you, that you love one another, that the world would know that you're my disciples because you love one another. That's only in John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are pretty similar. Only Luke talks about the argument the disciples had, saying, you know, who's the greatest among us? And Jesus addressed that. And Luke only talks about Peter's denial, as does John, but Matthew and Mark both speak about the fact that all the disciples said the same thing. They all said, we'll never turn away from you, we'll never fall away. I'd die rather than betray you or deny you, as Peter actually spoke it, but the scripture says they all said the same thing. And so we have these four gospels. We're only going to read the Matthew 26 because there are two items in here that I want to focus on today. The ones that show up in all four Gospels. The fact that Judas's betrayal was foretold, and the fact that Peter's denial was foretold. Have you ever considered the fact that the Lord's Supper, what we celebrate every month, fits in between betrayal and denial? So let's read this together. Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 17. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. And this is what I was speaking of earlier, that celebration of that time when God delivered the Hebrews from Egypt because a sacrifice was made. Blood was placed on the door, and the angel of death passed over those who believed, those who acted in faith. Continuing, verse 20. When it was evening, he, as Jesus, reclined at the table with the 12. As they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" And he said to him, "You have said so." Now, as they were eating, and this is the part we're familiar with, this part we review like every time we share the Lord's Supper, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Many manuscripts say, "This is my blood in the new covenant," that we talked about just last month when Mike talked about the Lord's Supper in Jeremiah, this new covenant. "It's poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered him, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. So we have this setting of the Lord's Supper, what we call the Lord's Supper, this potentially Passover meal the night before Jesus was crucified. And we understand that Jesus was crucified. He was sacrificed at the time the lambs were sacrificed for the celebration of the Passover. There are some, I'll say, academic conversations about that, whether this was really a Passover meal or not. There are some explanations from that from various commentators that make it possible that some celebrated the Passover meal like the night of the 14th, and some waited until the end of the 14th to sacrifice the lamb and celebrate the meal on the 15th. It's just not clear how that all worked out, why it is possible, or if it's possible for Jesus to have shared in the Passover meal and then been sacrificed as the Passover lamb. I don't understand for certain. I have an idea of how that might work. I don't think it's that important that we understand it all, but to know that Jesus died in our place. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul calls Jesus Christ our Passover lamb. So this recollection of placing our faith in God's plan and then being freed from, delivered from, escaping the punishment that was due. That's what Passover is about. That's what Passover was about in Exodus chapter 12 and every year afterward. And it's what it's about since Jesus' death and every year afterward. That a sacrifice has been made that we could escape the punishment that is due because of our sin, because of us being separated from God. And Jesus made all of that possible. And so as we come again later, I want to just give you a moment to consider what all that means. In the midst of betrayal and denial, Jesus carried out his plan. Judas is going to betray him. What Jesus could have said, you know what? I'm just going to step away from this. But he didn't do that because he is God. He came for this purpose, to die in our place. And so even though he knew Judas was about to betray him and it was going to result in his crucifixion, he stayed the course. And we would think, well, maybe that's easy to do, sort of, because I know it's God's plan and I've got these 11 guys with me. But no. The 11 guys also fall away. They also don't hang tough. They don't stand beside Christ. And it almost had to not be. I mean, if they had stood, there would have been a battle. You know, Peter pulled out a sword and tried to act as a soldier. And Jesus said, don't do that. This is what we're here for. But each of them individually have this experience of falling away, of perhaps running away, of hiding in the bushes, so to speak, when Jesus was arrested. We only know for certain that John, or the disciple that Jesus loved, was at the crucifixion. He and many of the women who had traveled with Jesus. It doesn't say whether Peter was there. It doesn't say whether Thaddeus or Bartholomew or any of them were there. They all fell away and all had to come to a point of returning. And so that's my challenge to you today. Where are you in this? I pray that you're not at a place where you've betrayed Jesus. I have nothing to do with him. I'd just as soon see him dead and gone. If that's where your heart is, please change your mind. Ask God forgiveness and come back to him. But if you're in that place where you have fallen away, you've drifted, you know that God has certain things for you, and you've said, you know, but I prefer this, then you've slipped, you've fallen, you've drifted, you've turned your back on what God has for you. And as Jerry has talked about, I want to know what God wants for me, even though I don't necessarily enjoy the circumstances. What does God have for me? So as we continue our service together, and I would, in just a moment, ask for if there's someone else who has a testimony they'd like to share. I want to keep that family atmosphere, but I also want you to have a moment to consider, am I walking with Jesus as he would have me walk with Jesus? Again, not an issue of what should I beat myself up about this week, but how much more does God have for me? That he doesn't want me to fall away. He doesn't want me to drift. He wants me to walk step by step with him, to walk in the Spirit, to fulfill the desires of the Spirit, not the desires of my flesh. It's all through the New Testament, this desire God has for us to walk with him in joy and contentment and gratitude and peace and comfort. His blessing is just right there. If you've taken a step back, if you've turned your back on that, I encourage you today to repent. That means to turn, to change, to make a different decision, to say, I want to follow Christ. In a few moments, we will share the Lord's Supper together. That's an opportunity for this personal experience with God. I am taking again a recollection of Christ's body and blood shed on my behalf that I might be his child. So take a moment. Consider that. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today, the opportunity to share in the Lord's Supper, to recall the Passover and what it meant in Exodus, and recall the Passover lamb and what it means in our lives today. Lord, call us back to you. Perhaps we're walking with you in 95% of our lives, but there's something that you'd have us draw closer on. Please reveal that to us. Give us humility. Give us peace about surrendering that to you. Lord, it shows up in so many different ways, the relationships that need to be addressed, or attitudes that need to be changed, or activities that need to be eliminated. Whatever it is you have for us that is your plan instead of ours, we submit to that today. Bring glory to your name, Lord. Advance your kingdom for your glory, and may we come along as the bride of Christ, ready to celebrate and worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is there someone else who has a testimony?
When we sang Great is Thy Faithfulness, which is one of my all-time favorite hymns, it took me back to Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, where it says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And I am so completely thankful for God's faithfulness in every part of my life. He has provided for me in ways that I could never have imagined would be possible. And one thing that really sticks out in my mind today is I have been asking God for ways that I could serve him, that I would feel important to him and beneficial to him. And what he has done is just repeatedly given me opportunities to witness. I had some doctor's appointments over the last week and a half, and I don't know, every single doctor's appointment I had an opportunity to share with the doctor my love for God and God's protection and care for me. And one of the doctors said, wow, that's just an amazing attitude. And I thought, praise God, he was faithful. He gives me opportunities repeatedly to witness to my neighbors in my little apartment complex. And there was an incident recently where the neighbor across the hall, she and I were standing in the hallway talking, and she had something that was really hard for her to deal with. She is not a believer and has been pretty vocal about that. And I just felt the Lord prodding me to ask her if I could pray with her. So I just said to her, I said, Diana, would you be comfortable having me pray for you right now? And she said, oh, Karen, I was so hoping you would ask me that. So I got the opportunity to pray with her there. And in a way that reminded me of Mike, I gave pretty much a gospel presentation in my prayer, and thank God for his love for us and his provision for us of Jesus Christ as our Savior. So I am just thankful for God's faithfulness to me every single day, in knowing how I can best live for him in that day.
Thanks, Karen. I do have a few other prayer concerns that have come through email and so forth, the connection cards and so forth, and so I want to take a moment to address those as well, because we said if you had a prayer concern, please share it, and so folks have done so. If you'll put up with me dealing with my technology, I would appreciate that. Pat Gordon, who has been part of our church family pretty much mostly remotely over the past months, please pray for the turmoil in my family that we all find peace. Some of you know Pat from Women's DNA. Continue to pray for her. Robert Crowley, young man who just turned 66 this week, normally sits over on this side. This is my week at Roswell for treatment options. Robert really hadn't shared too much about it, but he is dealing with the possibility of prostate issues, prostate cancer. Please pray for me to find the correct decisions. I also hope that every man over 50 gets a PSA check. So we'll pray for those two. Dan Fergaley, we've prayed for his daughter-in-law. You might recall Diane. Good morning, ABC brothers and sisters. My daughter-in-law Diane finally received all of the medical test results. She does have a cancerous tumor on her pancreas. Roswell wants to wait 3 months and retest to see if the tumor has grown. Carol and I have been praying with them and for them. Our main prayer request is for salvation for the family and healing for Diane. Blessings for each of you, Dan Fergaley. You may recall that Dan's son, Diane's husband, is fully disabled, and so it's difficult for him to care for Diane, and Diane's been caring for him, but now she's got medical issues. So pray for both of them that they would have God's comfort, but also come to salvation in all of this. And then Judy Fiorella, prayers are needed for my friend's mother, Sarah. She's 94 and suffered a stroke yesterday. They're keeping her on comfort measure, and we're praying for God to take her home. Please pray for her children that they find comfort knowing this wonderful woman will be in the arms of our Lord, hopefully soon. So let's pray for those as we also recognize what God has been doing in Karen's life, and again, that we would all have that testimony that God is at work showing us how to walk with him, how to trust him, seeing his hand of blessing. But I do want to share with you something else by way of announcement, as it were. Several of our kids will be going to Crossings Camp at Cedarmore in July, second week in July in particular. And so there is an opportunity to help them. They're doing some fundraising. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this necessarily, but I do want to let you know about it because they need your help, in effect. Let's see if I can find the right one here. So Crossings, there's 9 students and 2 leaders going, Maggie and Evie Beeden, Olivia, Anna, Nikki, Sam, Napoli, Danielle, Napoli, and Joyce, their student. I'm sorry, Joyce, I don't know your real last name, so you'll just be Joyce Napoli today. And Rayshawn Barrett is also going. And so they need to raise some money to be able to pay for that. And so they're doing two different things, one called Rent-A-Kid, and the two Beeden girls and Rayshawn are interested in being able to do something for you for pay that they could raise money. And then they're also doing a parents' night out. This will be at church. Those kids will be babysitting by the youth group, really, not just those kids. June 11th. That's like this weekend. June 11th from 7 to 9:30, and donations are accepted. So if you've been looking for an opportunity to get out without your kids, the youth group will help take care of your youngers, and you can have a night out, a parents' night out. The 11th is what? Friday night. So I just want to make sure you were aware of that and had that opportunity. So we're going to sing one more song, and then we'll share the Lord's Supper together. I trust you have, prepared yourself to share in the Lord's Supper, to recall the Passover, to recall that even when we deny, even when we fall away, Christ's purpose remains, his offer remains, his love remains, our forgiveness remains. All of those things are settled, and so we rest in him. So back to Matthew chapter 26, in verse 26. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, And after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So Jesus, as part of this meal, again, whether it was a Passover meal or just the meal before the next day and so forth, he took bread and used it to represent himself. Now, mind you, back earlier in the gospel, he has described himself as the bread of life. This shouldn't be a surprise to his disciples. This is the fact that bread represents Christ. I am the bread of life. And so he took bread and he broke it and distributed it, apparently, or passed it around. But he said, "All of you should take of this, because this is my body given for you." And he gave thanks for that. Let's do that. Lord God, we thank you that Christ died on our behalf, that he died in our place, that he died according to your purpose and plan. Before the foundations of the world, he was predestined to give himself that we might be redeemed, bought back, made holy, made your children. So we thank you. In gratitude and joy, we come before you to celebrate the Lord's Supper, remembering the Passover, and being grateful that you've made us your children. In Jesus' name, amen. And he took a cup, verse 27. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant," or the new covenant, "which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I won't drink of this fruit again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Again, we find in the Old Testament that life is in the blood. For Christ to give his life, he had to give his blood. And it acts as that thing which purchases our redemption. It acts as that fluid, that water to wash us, that we might be as white as snow. We're washed in blood. Even though our sins be as crimson, we're washed in blood, and yet we turn out white as snow. That's God's economy. That's God's plan, not ours. We can't always understand all that he does. But he gave this cup, and he said, "This is this new covenant, where I write my law on your heart, and I am your God, and you are my people." We become his children because of Christ's sacrifice. And again, Jesus was always diligent to express gratitude. He took the bread and he prayed and he gave thanks, and he took the cup and he gave thanks. Let's give thanks again. It seems as though we spend all our time thanking. Well, why wouldn't we spend all of our time thanking a God who has done all of this for us? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the sacrifice of Christ, not only his body, but his blood, not only his life given, but what it accomplished in washing us clean. Lord, we have nothing to bring to you except what you've given us. Our hands are truly empty in terms of what we can offer. Even our lives are yours as our God, as sovereign King. But you allow us to be your children. Help us to serve you well as children. Help us to bring you honor and glory. Help us to live in such a way that others come to know you and they come to give you honor and glory, and that you are pleased with that, that you are lifted high, that others might know you. Lord, may our heart always be for more people to know who you are, to come to salvation, to come to that redemption that you've offered. Even before the beginning of the world, you had a plan, and we stand here in the midst of that plan, grateful, surrendered to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we have celebrated the Lord's Supper, as we celebrated Passover, as we've celebrated the gratitude and joy that we should have in our walk with Christ, let's sing about that joy, with that joy, and then go on to DNA to discuss the Passover, or to discuss people's testimonies, or discuss our own testimony. Perhaps you weren't comfortable sharing here, but would in that smaller group. I encourage you to do that.